will be in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to start out by reading it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried through fire, or with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought to you in the at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which has called you and is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do you believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now let's go back and see what it has to say, because there's some good stuff in here. And you know, it's been years since I've ministered the book of Peter, and there is so much revelation in here. If you slow down and don't read over these words and take into account what someone told you, hear what the Spirit is saying in these words. It's awesome. Go back to the first verse. And it says, Peter says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The apostle means one sent by God with a mission. Okay, so Peter knows he has a mission now, doesn't he? And Peter means what? A piece of the rock. Okay. He said, to the strangers. You know what the word stranger means? To the aliens. Now, most people would think he was talking about non-Jewish people. Okay? But see, when God says in his word that we are aliens and we're foreigners, we're strangers, we're not of this country. We're not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. That makes us aliens. We're not in the worldly system. We're here, but we're not of it. We're of God, right? There's the difference. He's talking to the first fruit sons of God, not to all the Gentiles like it would be ministered by a lot of people. He said, the ones scattered through Pontus. Pontus means the sea. What does the sea represent? Humanity. So throughout humanity. And Galatia, which is the land of the Gauls, some pretty bad people. Okay? And Cappadocia. You know what that means? It's a province of good horses. Well, it's good, but not God. So all these different situations is what it's telling you. And Asia represents the Orient. And Bithynia represents a violent rushing. Okay? These are all situations we live in, aren't they? And he's saying, I've got you scattered throughout everything. And all these situations you go through because God has you there for a reason. Kind of like what we've talked about this morning before we started teaching. Okay, in verse 2 he goes on, he said, you're elect. What do you think that means? You've been chosen, is exactly what it means. You were chosen according to the what? The foreknowledge of God. And in the book of Ephesians, Paul wrote and said, we were chosen before the foundation of the world. Okay. And in the Old Testament said, you know, in Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So that means there was a foreknowledge and a forebeing, wasn't there? Yes, if you're an elect, you were here long before you came into the flesh. You were. Okay. And he said, to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification or the separation by the Spirit to obedience. He said, he separated you for one reason. What is it? Obedience. Obedience, to learn obedience to God. Didn't he say, I'd rather have obedience than sacrifice? So he wants us to learn to obey the Spirit of God that's within you. Not somebody sitting on an old gray-haired man sitting on a throne up in the sky somewhere. He said, to obedience and the sprinkling, or literally the cleansing, by the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, you have to realize he separated you by the Spirit for obedience and by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb sprinkled on you to purify it. And it says clearly in Paul's writings, that we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. Okay? And he says, grace, that's that divine influence in your heart and a reflection out into your lifestyle for a purpose, right? To you, and peace be multiplied. Well, how many people believe that peace is multiplied in their life? By what God is doing in your heart, see? By the Word of God that's in your heart, it brings an influence, that divine influence in your heart, and brings a reflection of that influence in your heart out. So what's in a man's heart comes out of it, doesn't it? So I live the way my heart or my inner being is, and that's what he's trying to tell you. You live by this, and it should be evident by people around you that you are changed by what you know inside. Because your outside doesn't control the inside, it's the inside controls the outside, right? It has to come out, right? The presumptuous has to come out before you can see the gold.
Uh-huh. And it brings about a greater amount of peace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that peace is multiplied by the more we learn about Him, about the Christness. And it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, it should say, praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy or active compassion, and it says active compassion, that don't mean sitting on a corner somewhere, right? It means actively, it's operating right now, his mercy is operating, has begotten us or give us again. See, again, what's that mean? He's given it to us, so it's kind of like what we'd say, rebirth, our born again experience, and Peter gets back to that in 23rd verse. We'll get there later. So he has begotten us, he's given us a rebirth in the Spirit unto a lively or active living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Not by, but through the resurrection, he passed that to us. Didn't Paul say we were in him when he died? We were in him when he was buried? We were in him when he was in being buried, he was being baptized, we were being baptized into him. And when he resurrected, we were in him, right? So that's what he's telling you again. We got to believe that this all took place already in us. We have to see it as a completed, finished work. Okay? You got to see that God has completed his work, and he's resting. Right? He's resting. He ain't working. Okay, verse 4. To an inheritance, see, he set this all up for an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. The word undefiled should be pure. So it's an inheritance, it's incorruptible and pure, that fades not away, or it's unfading. It's reserved in the realm of the Spirit for you. Who is that? Everyone should be saying, me. The ones he's talking to, it should be me. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. How are we kept? Not by our own works, not by our own labors, but by the power of God through faith to what? Deliverance. So we're brought to deliverance. Our thinking process has changed by the power of God who is protecting us and taking us where he wants us to go. The book clearly states in the Old Testament, the Psalms, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So if we're a child of God, called first fruit, okay, guess what? Our steps are ordered. I don't believe for one minute that Moses or David or Job or any of these other prophets of old, Samuel, all these guys, I don't believe any of them, Benjamin, any of these people of the Old Testament, none of these people, or even the New Testament ones, were walking their own course. There was a course ordered by God for their life. You think Paul went on the road to Damascus because he just wanted to? He thought he did, but God used our carnality to get us into places he wants us to be so he can correct us. And he was corrected, wasn't he? See? That's just God doing what he wants. Everybody tries to make it, it's up to you. I had someone here recently talk to me about free will. And I've had a lot of people question about this free will thing. I said, the word's not in the Bible to start with, so why should I even talk about it except for the fact that you've asked the question? See? Until I've covered all the subjects of the Scriptures, why do I want to go outside the Scriptures? But since you asked the question, I'll deal with it. And I said, there's nothing in here about being a free moral agent of God or having your own free will or any of that stuff. And I've got a list of Scriptures I'm going to deal with when we go to Delaware to a gentleman up there, May the 4th, when we go up there. He's been wanting to know about this, but it's not even in the book, so imagine that, you know. People are concerned with issues that's not even there, and they're making up their own problems, and we don't need to. Just obey. And what part of obedience is free will? It doesn't even work. I mean, come on. Right. So it's God's doing it to bring us to deliverance, ready to be manifested in the last time or the set time or in a time it's ready, okay? Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a short time, if need be, or literally, that it's necessary to exist, okay, in heaviness or in distress, it's necessary to be distressed through various experiences. That's what the language should say. Through various experiences, it's necessary that we go through these short times of necessary existence and distressed and various experiences, that it's going to change us. The only way that, Paul said, the only way I knew that covetousness was wrong was that the law came and showed me. See, the law isn't bad. People are bad. People do the bad things. We have to realize the law, although it was incomplete and it couldn't perfect us, it showed us a pattern of something. And that's okay. But we're not living under that law any longer. We're living under the grace and mercy of this new covenant. So now we realize that the problem was in the interpretation of the mind interpreting the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, the law, said nothing different than what's saying in the New Testament, except the interpretation in the mind says, God's judging us. He's mad at us. He's going to kill us because of what we're doing. And it was the way they perceived it. And when he said, thou shalt not kill, he wasn't telling you, you better not do it. He's saying, I'm going to promise you, when I get through changing you, you're not even going to ever think about killing nobody. That's the promise he told us. See, we're looking at it totally in the wrong way. And the minds of religion took that thing and added 382 more laws to it, as if 10 weren't enough. Okay? So we can't take care of all that stuff anyway. God will take care of it. And I'm not going to get into it and try to split theological hairs. All I know is God is love, and he's going to take care of the whole thing. If he's not in control, I'm surely not going to do any good. So I'm going to let it rest. Okay, verse 7 it says, in order that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried through fire. Okay? Though it be tried through fire, cross out that word might, because that ain't there. The word might is not there. It's tried with fire. It will be found to praise and honor and glory to the appearing or the manifesting of Jesus Christ. See, when I realize the value of my trials, just what we've talked about this morning, when I realize the value of my trials, it will bring about what? The honor and praise and glory in the appearing of Christ in me. Because I'm showing God's Son to the world. Do you hear me? I can walk through these things because I know what I go through and how I respond to every situation is being viewed by the world. And the world is sick of religion. Why do you think there's so many churches falling down trying to come up with new business plans and new gimmicks to try to get people to come to church? Because they're falling away. They have not given life. They're looking for something. And the world's looking for somebody that will stand up and tell the truth. We just got one from a lady in Texas this week. And she said, wow, your teachings blowed me away. You know, I've never heard this kind of, he said, it's so real, it brought realness to me. And she said, I sat under Dr. William Hinn and Dr. somebody else, his other teachers, but they've never opened these things up like this. You know, I know Willie, he's a nice guy. But he's got caught back in religion. You know, they say they haven't, but when you're running around calling yourself a doctor, hanging titles on yourself, you know, you can go from there, you figure it out yourself. Okay. Verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, right? In whom though you see him not, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See? People ask me all the time, how are you, Dave? I said, I'm outstanding. Why no, you don't understand. My circumstances has nothing to do with who I am and what I'm, how I feel. That's just circumstances. Who I am is what's internal in me. It has nothing to do with this frail body that I live in. That's just a suit I'm wearing temporarily. It has nothing to do with me. And I said, I am outstanding today. I said, because I know who I am and I know how and what my Father thinks about me. So that puts me in very good standing. That's all I have to worry about. The rest of it doesn't make any difference. In verse 9, it goes on and says, receiving the end of your faith. That's a bad statement. Seems like you ain't going to have any more faith. You're going to come to an end of it. The word end there literally should be purpose. Receiving the purpose of your faith. See, when we go through the tests, and that test changes us, it reveals things in us, going through these fires, then we receive the purpose. Now we understand the purpose. Oh, now I see. When I went through this hard thing and I realized it wasn't what somebody did to me, it was how I thought about that person to start with. It wasn't that person that was a problem. I was the problem. Yeah, you get the big view of it, what God's saying. When people come around and do things to you, it's not doing it to you. They're doing it for you. They're stirring things up in you so you can view yourself, a reflection in them, and say, hey, that's not very good. I don't want that. That don't look like anything godly to me. I'll get rid of that. Sure. And once you see this, see, it gives you a purpose for your faith. Now, why did I believe in him? So it could change me. See, so it could change me. Even the deliverance of your what? Spirit. It's the word suke, and I know people say that, but you go into your Strong's Concordance and you look and see what that word is. They don't even know what a soul is. A soul is a mixture of flesh and spirit. Do you think God's trying to save flesh?
Irregardless
of what they teach, you look in that word, it's the word suke, it's 5590 in the Strong's Dictionary, and the first thing it says is spirit. And then it goes on down and says, related to something through another word, rational soul. They took it off of someplace else. But it says, first and foremost, spirit. And the same thing for pneuma. It says, spirit. So both words are for spirit. You know, there's a lot of things we have more than one word for it. And yet they think, well, you have to have one for this and one for that. But God's not into saving the flesh. The dust returns to the earth and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Right? They don't understand what they're talking about. And believe me, that word right there is speaking your spirit. My soul can't be saved. My soul is going back to the dust. It's the carnal thinking, my emotions. I'm not trying to save all them things. I want truth. And truth has nothing to do with emotions, does it? Of which deliverance, okay, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace, that's that divine influence in us and a reflection in our lifestyle, that we're going to get. See, the prophets prophesied this thing. The Ten Commandments was a prophecy. You shall not kill. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. You shall not commit adultery. All these things. You shall love the Lord your God. This is all prophecy. And it's becoming fulfilled in our lives today when we come to this truth. It's becoming a fulfilled prophecy in our lives. Okay? I thought this was going to be a real short message, but it ain't. It ain't. Okay? Verse 11. This is what these prophets did. They were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them. Hello, Old Testament prophets with the Spirit of Christ in them. Did Peter lie? See, the church world says, no, they didn't have Christ in them. Christ hadn't come about yet. Well, they're full of dishwater, ain't they? He was before the foundation of the world. He always has been. Christ always has been. Which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, to whom it was revealed that not to themselves but to us, or to you, as the word should say, you, but to you did they minister these things, the things which are now reported to you, excuse me, by them that have preached the gospel, the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from the spirit realm. The word down shouldn't be there. Sent from the spirit realm, not heaven, but the spirit realm, which things the messengers desired to look into. He's saying they desired to look into it, and they couldn't. Okay? It wasn't their time. It wasn't time to be revealed yet. But this was sent to you. This good news being preached to you that everyone's going to make it in God's timing and by His plan and purpose, all will make it, but not according to what the church world has to say. And I'm not saying everybody's going to be sitting on a throne. There's going to be differences of administrations. Come on. There's going to be captains over tens, captains over 50s, captains over hundreds. Scripture teaches that. And see, everybody wants to be a king sitting on a throne. If everybody's king, who are you going to be king over? I mean, come on, use your brain. The natural teaches you about the spiritual, and a king doesn't sit with a whole bunch of kings, does he? It's one king, and Christ is not one person. Christ is a many-membered body. And they'll all be with the same thought process, with love and compassion and mercy and grace to humanity. That's what he's talking about. Okay. Verse 13, therefore, wherefore, or therefore, gird up your loins of your mind. See, it's in the thinking, isn't it? Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Now, to the end is wrong. It should say hope without wavering. Without wavering. Now, why would we just hope to the end and then quit? There's going to come an end and everybody just goes back into a big blob of blah. See? There ain't no rapture coming, see? So it says hope without wavering. That means you just endure until whenever, don't you? Without end, you know? Okay. And you can look in Matthew 16, 17 and Galatians 1, 12 through 12 and 16, some other verses to parallel this thought process, okay? For the grace that is to be, the words that is to be is added words, for the grace brought to you. See, it's not like, see, like here it says the grace that's going to be sometime, but literally those words are added. It should say, for the grace brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. When did that happen? Yeah, it was, I mean, the grace is brought to me in the revelation. When Jesus Christ was revealed in me, like Paul said, I'm no longer conferred with flesh and blood. When you have the Christ revealed in you and you understand that Christ is in you, yeah, you don't need someone else to teach you. You don't need to be wavering anymore. You don't have to stand and say, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Pentecost, I'm this, I'm kingdom, I'm that, I'm third day, I'm any. I'm just a son of God and I know who I am. Jesus never said anything except I'm a son of God. I'm the son of God. He never said I'm God. He never said I'm third day, I'm tabernacles. He never said I'm Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, or anything else, did he? He just said I am the son of God. And that's what we are. And the sons of God know who they are, and they won't have to hang badges all over them or wear hats saying kingdom on it to figure out who you are, or so you can tell everybody else. They'll know who you are by your love for the brethren, won't they? They don't have to worry about the rest of it. God will take care of all that. And he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. And you know, the church world don't see that. They think that's all them heathen people out there. But that's church people. They fashioned themselves according to the ignorance of their carnal minds. And they're in church and think, just because I go into a church on Sunday morning, I am covered. I've got the blood of Jesus on me. Well, that's what they think. It has nothing to do with, I know it's ridiculous, but that's what they think because that's what they've been told, and they haven't took a responsibility in their own lives to read this book and to meditate upon this book and to look at the language and see where the inconsistencies are and straighten it out in their own mind. See, I'm not concerned about, I've been asked, why don't you write a translation Bible? Why? There's over 100 of them. Ain't none of them right. And if I did one, I'd miss some of it too. So what's the point of it? All I can do is straighten up the ignorance that's in my life. I can fashion myself according not to my ignorance and my carnality, but to the Spirit of God. That's all I got to do. Straighten up the words in my life. And many times when I try to look up a verse, it's so difficult to find it because I've changed it in my mind. I've changed it to what the language really says, and if I look in one of the other translations, it's not there because they mistranslated it. When I go see what those words are, I look for that word, it's not there, you know. So sometimes it's a struggle for me to go find it because I've went back. My mind tells me the truth now, and it's hard to even repeat those false words that the King James has translated. It's totally replaced, and makes it difficult sometimes to show people things. But I'll get there when he wants me to. Verse 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all behavior or lifestyle. The words manner of shouldn't be there. He said, so be ye holy in all behavior or lifestyle. Now, I like this next one because it's prophecy. Because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. Wrong. It says, you will be holy because I am holy. No, he said, you will be holy. You know why? Because he is holy. So it should read, verse 16, should read, you will be holy because I am holy. That's what God says. Now, isn't that a promise? You will be. That's what the language uses here. They changed it because they didn't believe it. Okay? Just doubt and unbelief that they translated in. Okay, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning or your alien residence, in fear or reverence, as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain behavior or lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers. Where'd it come from? Religion. religion. They've taught us all these things. But with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was predestined, foreordained, predestined, before the foundation or conception of the world, before the conception of the orderly arrangement in the mind of man. Man is the one that formed this conception of the world. Do you realize that? God had it already figured out, and man wrote a new book. When he took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he decided to write his new way. There was a conception of the world, see? I'd like to take it right to the point where in Isaiah where he said, I'll be like the Most High God. There's when he decided in his mind that God's way wasn't the right way because of his emotions. He was listening to Eve, wasn't he? His emotions. And in his emotions, he decided that was more important than the truth that God said. And that happens in everybody's life until we find out who Christ really is within us. Okay? But was manifest or apparent in these last times, not for you, but through you. He said, it's been manifest through you. How many people believe that? Not many believe that Christ is manifested through you and all this is being shown through you as an individual. Well, it couldn't be me. I'm just a little human. No, I'm not. I got a human suit on, but I'm a spirit of God. The word there at the last part of verse 20 where it says for you, it should be through you. Dia, yep. 1223 is the number on it, I believe. Okay, verse 21. There's Dia again, who through him do believe into God. See, we believe into God, not to God. We believe into him. That raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope, cross out the word might right there, that your faith and hope be in God, not might be in God. Okay? Cross out the word might. Not in the writings. Verse 22, the word seeing, the first word isn't there, so you can cross it out. It should say, you have purified your what? Should be spirit. It's the word suke, but you've purified your spirit. How can you purify the flesh? It's impossible. No, it's impossible to purify flesh. It's flesh. That's right, and you can't do it. Okay, it's the word suke again. But you purified your spirit in obeying the truth. How did you purify your spirit? By obedience. You discredited anything that your carnal mind told you to do. You didn't believe it. You said, no, I'm not doing it. That's not God. I'm not doing it. See, that's the sheep hearing the voice and saying, the voice of another I'm not going to follow. I'm going to hear the Spirit of God speaking in me, and that I will follow. The other I'm not going to follow. End of discussion. Through the Spirit to what? It should be sincere love, not unfeigned, but sincere love of the brethren. There's what's going to happen when you have your spirit purified. You're going to love the brethren unconditionally. The next part of it says, see that ye love. Those first three words aren't really there. It says, love one another with a pure heart intently. Love the brethren with a pure heart intently. And here's the verse I was telling you about being born again, where it said he brought us back again in verse 3. In 23 he says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed implied, through the word or the logos of God, which lives and abides into the ages. So, he's saying the word of God, when you truly hear the logos, not the rhema, but the logos of God in your heart, the true spirit of God, in your heart speaking to you, what's it going to do to you? It's going to create that rebirth in you. Only Peter told us, Jesus said you must be born again. He didn't say you need to be saved because he took care of that. But he said you need to be born again in John 3. You must be born again. To be born again, we have to hear the word of God. So it's not about going to an altar and crying. It's not about being water baptized. It's not about eating a wafer and drinking wine or grape juice. None of the above. It's not about wearing a certain kind of clothes or cutting your hair a certain way or not cutting your hair a certain way. It's not about the way you walk or anything else. It's about what you know inside, what you've heard, this word of God, that conceiving, that the Spirit came upon Mary, and what happened? She conceived the Christ within her. That's the pattern of us. When the Spirit releases that understanding in you, in your spirit, that's the Spirit coming upon you and impregnating that seed within you and bringing about the Christ. And it's a progression from there on in our lives to show us that now we're sons, but we start as little babies. We start as that little wiggly thing, that little fetus, they call it, little teeny tiny 1, 2 cell, 3, 4, 6, 10, 12 millions and right on, you know, until we come out. But that's where we started, right there. When we heard that, the Christ in you was conceived at the moment of hearing that word of truth, that God is love. Not just this worldly, oh, God loves you, Jesus loves you. No, that none of that crap. It's the truth that God is love, and it's present in my heart. This wishy-washy, just easy believe anything doesn't cut it. It's not a choice. It's what God chooses to do. The Father made the choice, and He chose to impregnate you at a certain time with this seed of His. And when He did impregnate that seed, it's over with. You have no choice in the matter. I didn't choose to be a male or female. I didn't choose to be white, black, red, yellow, purple, or any other color. I didn't choose to be tall, short, skinny, fat, nothing. I didn't choose anything. Color eyes, color of skin, nothing. It was already preconceived, wasn't it? It had nothing to do with me.
God chooses.
The very nature. And it changes us. And it does change us. And it says when we're born again, it says which in the Word of God which lives and abides forever. If the Word of God has made you alive, how long will you live? You'll never die. See? Forever, into the ages. And then he goes here and talks. Now these next two verses, he's talking about the flesh. Not about the Spirit. He's already conceived here. He's already conceived right here. We're going to live forever now. Right? Now these next two verses we're going to be talking about the flesh. And it says, because all flesh is as grass. The word grass is literally vegetation. Okay? Heard a guy tell one time, well, that's like pot, you know, and God gave us his pot and we're supposed to smoke pot, and it was good, you know, but I know he's flipped out. He's a pot smoker. Okay. Because all flesh is as vegetation, and all the glory of man as the blossom of vegetation. Okay, all that man gives you is just temporary. That's what he's telling you. Okay, the flower on a vine or something only lasts a short while, doesn't it? It falls off. He said that's what the glory of man will give you. Nothing, just temporary. The grass or the vegetation withers, and the flower or the blossom thereof falls away. But the word of the Lord endures into the ages. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. Through this good news is preached to you. The flesh is only temporary and the Spirit is eternal. That's the message. Come on. We're all spirit and people can't understand it. They wonder, don't you think there's so much confusion in the church today because they're saying you'll live forever and you're saved, but you've backslided and you're going back to be unsaved? If you're born, how can you put that thing back in that womb again? That'd be a rough process. Yeah, and there's so many people today saying their flesh. These last two verses tell you, your flesh is going to die. Everything this flesh gives you is temporary. All the glory that man can give you, all the preeminence that the church world gives to their preachers and apostles and prophets and doctors and whatever else they give them, bishops, all that is just a flower. It's going to fall away. Just like the rest of the vegetation or flesh, it's just going to fade away. But only the glory of God is going to stand. And that glory is not gotten by yourself. That's a gift of God. It's worthless and transitory, absolutely. Vanity, vanity, vanity. Well, next week we'll be back. We'll be gone this week through the week to South Carolina. And we'll be back next weekend. We'll go into chapter 2. Good chapter. Guaranteed.